Good morning, everyone. I honestly thought the place would be empty this morning. Being mindful of the topic. So it's quite encouraging to see so many of the church family here this morning. I had prepared this quite a long way out, so I was very ready for this morning. And God's just done some quite incredible things through that whole process and the lead up, and I've only had to change it three times. But it's a topic that I feel incredibly able to speak on because of my significant experience in judging others. And what I feel the Holy Spirit has convicted me about is I'm going to share a confession with you this morning, which I think is important as part of all of our understanding exactly what God is saying through this passage. But I have learned it from personal experience. And there's another story which might be of interest as well, which will give some of you a bit of a smirk. But let's read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Remember your teachings of Jesus booklets. So great idea to pull them out, and if you want to, you can take some notes and just find help from that booklet that Nevin put together for us very kindly. So Jesus says, as part of his teaching in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 7, he's teaching about judging others, and it goes like this. This is the New Living Translation, a translation I love, because of the way that it explains Scripture so clearly and helpfully. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Now, if you want further illumination on that passage, can I encourage you to read it in the Amplified? When you go home, read that in the Amplified version and read it really, really carefully. And let me tell you, it's like a sledgehammer is hitting you when you read it in the Amplified. So, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, you've given us a passage this morning from the Beatitudes, which you were trying to help your people at that time understand more about the behaviour that you expected from them as your followers. And this morning, we just come with an attitude of humility to recognise that the very best of us here this morning probably have some areas that will be a little bit raw from this topic of judging others. And we just ask, Lord, by your Spirit, that you will help our hearts to respond to the very essence of what you were trying to teach at that time. So this morning, as we study it, as we look at it, as we consider it, help us to be better people as a result of having read this passage and dissected it together. And as we do that, we pray that you will teach us by your Spirit that the words which I speak won't be what I think, but they will be completely anointed by your very Holy Spirit. Go with us now, Lord, as we consider these things. We ask that the presence of your Holy Spirit be very much upon us right now. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I shared with you that there's a reason for sitting down here. The reason is because I don't feel that it's right for me to be standing up there talking about judging others, when in fact the very experience that I've had throughout my life has meant that I've significantly judged others. Now, it's really interesting. This is going to be hard for me, so just bear with me, all right? I'm going to probably have to take a bit of water. As I was growing up, we're probably talking around about 11, 12 years of age. I was in a Christian home with a father who was a very well-known and very well-respected expository Bible teacher. And as I recall, our Sunday mornings around lunch after church was spent quite a bit of the time doing roast preacher. Do you know what I mean? So there would be a critique of whoever had spoken, and there would be various commentaries and whatnot. And as my life, so I've probably spent about 50 years in the Open Brethren Assemblies. From when I became a Christian, and I've had about 5 decades in the assemblies. And through that 5 decades, I have had a significant vehemence, bitterness, frustration with anything elders or leadership or people in control. And even recently, Lynn said to me when we were talking, just about everything you talk about has got something negative to do with elders or leaders. And as I recall, I think I said something like, well, they get it wrong most of the time, so what do you expect? Which was quite flippant, really, and quite uncalled for. But it was that very challenge to my way of thinking by Lynn that made me think, why do I have such a vehemence and a frustration and they just can't get it right attitude? Why do I have that? And I was sitting, I can recall this clear as day. I was sitting in my favourite chair in the dining room where I sit and talk and Lynn and I share, and I felt the Holy Spirit just said, it stems from when you were a young boy back in one of the brethren assemblies that you were active in with your parents. And I sat and I thought about it, and it went like this. I had a very, very high view of my skill set. I thought I was really quite an asset to any church, mainly because I was positive, but I was proactive, and I was always looking for different ways of doing things and helping people. And I suggested to, in those days when I was a boy, we called them the elder brethren, the elders. The elders were called the elder brethren. Unfortunately for me, at that time, my elder brethren had a different view of my skill set to the view that I had of my skill set. And I thought that I would have been one of the greatest assets that they would have for their church and to help with different things. And, of course, with my opinions and my thoughts about how things were going. And when I look for opportunities to do something, the elders just shut the lid. They just went, no, we don't see that the same way you do. There isn't an opportunity for you to be involved here. So I ended up being on communion duty. And that, to this day, is where I have developed my love for port. truly. Because I felt that it was a huge waste to see what was left in the glasses just poured straight down the drain. So I always had a very glowing line between here and my tummy as we drove home after church. But what happened then when the lid was shut on what I thought I could contribute to the church family? I joined one of the most dangerous groups in the Christian church. And that group is the I know everything and you need to listen to me group. I know everything and you need to listen to me group. And it's closely aligned to another group that I also was part of. I know what's going on here and you don't know what you are doing group. And I'm not proud to tell you this morning, but this is part of what the Holy Spirit's been working on me. For 50 years, I've had a frustrated, bitter, annoyed, even angry spirit at all elderships who stuff everything up and who don't get things right. And it was only in my humble opinion. It's a class of one. And as I was preparing for this message, I realized completely straight away that the Holy Spirit was fingering me and saying, your bitter attitude, your preoccupation with elders, your preoccupation with leaderships and how they get it wrong. And I've been in a few brethren assemblies in my lifetime. So across the South Island, across parts of the North Island, Baptist churches that I've been in, they still didn't get it right either. And in some of the charismatic churches as well. So I've had quite a good free reign. But the illumination was, this is wrong. This is bitterness. This is judgment. That is not, it's not their portion. They do not deserve this. And yet, what surprised me as I sat in that chair was just the huge, whelming vehemence of it in my spirit. And it just went click. That's the kind of judgment that Jesus is talking about here. A judgment for me which went back 50 years. But the key thing here is that what God wants to do this morning is to help all of us evaluate where we're at in this whole judging one another process. And I don't know what's going on for all of you. I've felt really convicted about sharing this with you this morning because it's helped me realize the issue that I had in my life and that I needed to sort it. And look, it was beautiful. It was truly beautiful. I sat in that chair and I had tears coming down my cheeks. I just said, Lord, for 50 years, I've thought all this stuff. I've been bitter. I've given our COV elders a bit of stick too. So that's true. But I just really felt the Lord's forgiveness flood into my soul and just free me from recognising that that bitterness stemmed from way back when I had the door shut on me as a young man. It's quite incredible, isn't it? How could something like that affect a 67-year-old bloke now who seems to be... I seem to be a late bloomer because God's doing some incredible things in my life. But I want to show you this morning the power of what judging others actually does. And now I want to take time to unpack the story. It's not about lifting me up. It's about helping us to understand that in every single person in this building this morning, there are other stories that you have in your life which have created judgment that's in your soul and in your heart and in your mind. And I want us this morning to deliberately free ourselves from judging others. And what I want us to do, what I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst this morning, is to actually help us all genuinely love one another and revolutionize how we behave towards one another, which will then in turn revolutionize how we are portrayed in our community. But it's got to come from within. You on for that? Okay, so I'll just leave it there then. Are you on for this? Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. All right. So let's unpack. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. So Jesus is not saying in this passage that you should have no judgment on anybody. He is not saying that. He is not saying that we should have a moral openness to everything and we should never judge anything. He is not saying that. In fact, Jesus' words about judging may be the most often misquoted text from the Bible. People frequently apply it as if it were a flat command against all moral judgment, and it's not. In fact, people use it to judge what they consider a judgmental attitude on the part of another. Jesus, however, gave these words as one negative application of the golden rule. The golden rule is found in verse 12. And that says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. So we need to be mindful of what some make it, and it is not that. Interestingly, what Jesus was rebuking here is a hypocritical, judgmental attitude that tears others down in order to build ourselves up. Don't form an opinion on someone's character or their behaviour and express disapproval based on the assumption that we are better than they are. And based on that, you won't be judged in the same way. So if you don't judge, you won't be judged. So here's the thing. The best way to judge is not to do it. Do not place yourself above another person. Judgment damages our Christian community, and we can see it through the years. You can see if someone like me had the bitterness and the frustration built up over 50 years, that's not helpful for God's people, right? It's not helpful. And in varying degree, it's multiplied by all of us across Christendom. And that's not good. That's not what Jesus wants. He's saying, my kingdom needs to be a kingdom where you do not judge one another. You've got to have assessment and discernment about things that are happening around you. But it's not about judging others or making ourselves superior. So I have a question. You up for it? As Christians, with all that we have in terms of salvation, the grace of God, his forgiveness, his love, everything that he has done for us, why would we even think about trying to judge somebody else? Are you with me? Yes. It doesn't figure for me. I figure that if we've been saved by Jesus and the blood of the cross, wouldn't we be in the most spectacular position to be showing love and grace and mercy to not only fellow Christians, but to all those that we come in line with? Wouldn't we? And yet we don't, do we? Do we? We don't. Because the funny thing is that whenever we're living our Christian lives, the interesting thing is that no matter what we're doing, there is always an opportunity for us to judge somebody, isn't there? Always. There's always an opportunity to just slide in, oh, they've got no idea what they're doing. What a plonker. That happened to us recently. Lynn and I went to an appointment, and we had about an hour there. We were with a travel agent trying to organise some travel, which didn't go ahead in the end. But we came out, we hopped into the car, and we're driving down Ruhini Street. And I happened to notice under the left wiper there was a flapping piece of paper. And I thought, oh no, that's not good. And so then the discussion started, what's this all about? So we're trying to figure out what had we done wrong, what was going on. Anyway, we get home, drive into the garage, and Lynn pulls it off, and it's a $200 infringement notice because our registration was 2 months out of date. And I'm going, that's crazy. We're supposed to be sent a reminder. I haven't seen a reminder. I cover all the emails. There's been no reminder. Who is the plonker that's gone and done this on us? What was more embarrassing was it was 2 months out of date. And it was actually tied in with the time we were over in Fiji. We'd completely forgotten about it. It wasn't the parking officer. I actually applied to be a parking officer. And I thought, what a hopeless outfit that is. Look, I repented of my comments afterwards and said, sorry, Lord, because they were just doing their job. It was us that was at fault. But no matter what we do as Christians, we always find an opportunity to judge somebody else and shove it in there. And it's interesting, despite all the things that we all have to sort out with our own lives, we still have a crack at judging somebody else. So, why do we judge? Often it can make us feel superior. We feel better. It distracts us from our own spiritual condition. If we're judging someone else, we're not looking at home base. It also can create hurt and division and bitterness. And we've seen that with my experience as well. And totally, the other big issue that we face today is that the enemy is making judgment and judging of others a big issue for breaking down and pulling apart relationships in the local church, big time. And he is doing it very well. Verse 2, for you will be treated as you treat others. And I think this is kind of beautiful because it just says everything without needing any explanation. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And so we need to be mindful that when we're making comment on someone else's life and their behaviour and what they've done, that essentially we're going to be judged by exactly the same way that we're judging them. And that's sobering because usually as we move on to the next part of the passage, we move on to verse 3. Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Usually, we're looking at other people and we're looking at what's wrong in their life. And often there's something small. But what we don't realise is we're being an absolute hypocrite, because we've got as bigger, if not bigger, issue in our own life compared to them. And so Jesus is saying, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? And then he goes on and says, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of your issue, when you can't see past what's going on in your own life? And that describes almost exactly my condition with elderships and with what happened in my life for 5 decades. I was always looking at the speck that was in elders' eyes and not the dirty, great big logging truck that was in my own. Jesus knows what he's talking about, right? Right? And so he says in verse 5, hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So the whole point is about, it's easy to notice a speck in someone else's eye, but Jesus is telling us to check our own life first. Self-reflection must come before correction. Wait before you criticise. Why would we go and judge someone else when the issue is way bigger in our own life? Well, we do. We still do it. Verse 6, interesting verse. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. This is a rare situation, but it does happen. And in my Christian life, I have probably, honestly, only seen it happen once, where I really believe that it's God's intention that we should spread the gospel at every opportunity and guide those that we've built relationship with to a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, there are some situations where the people that we are working with just will not see the power of the gospel. They will ridicule you. They will attack you. They will push you. They will tell you what they really think about you. And it won't be nice. But there's a case in point where I think Jesus is saying here in this verse, he's saying to us to be wise and discerning. There are some rare situations where we find ourselves in the unfortunate position of having to walk away from some people in some situations, where the person we are talking to just continues to scoff, they continue to ridicule, twist everything you say. And I think the essence of what Jesus is saying in verse 6 here is that this is not a situation where you would bear your most personal stories and tell them about really emotional or sensitive things that have occurred in your own life to help them understand it, because they won't really respect that. And they will probably just give you more ridicule, and they will probably attack you, and that's not good for you. And in these situations, I believe the Holy Spirit will be making really clear to you that this is a time where you need to walk away, disengage, and pray for them and ask that the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit will continue to be with them and that they will eventually come to know Jesus. But it's not your day. It's not your day to be doing it. In exactly the same way that I don't believe Jesus is saying that we shouldn't have discernment or wisdom over situations. I think there are situations like this that will happen in our lives which we need to pray over, and God will make really clear to us what needs to happen. And I think Proverbs 3:5, trusting in the Lord with all our heart and not depending on our own understanding, but seeking his will, and he will show us the path that we need to take. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. This is the discernment that God would have us employ when we're in situations like this. So, all said and done, in this world, I think God is the only judge. Psalm 56 says, for God himself will be the judge. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time, before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each whatever praise is due. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring out our darkest secrets to the light and will reveal our private motives. Well, I guess at least I've got ahead of the A-ball. So I've brought out my dark secret and shared it with you. But there's other stuff in our midst. And God is the only judge, I believe. And the reason I believe that is we really have all the facts. We think we do. But we really do have all the facts. God knows everything. He always has all the facts. We have so much wrong with us that we have no right to judge others. God is perfect, and with everything that he knows, he has every right to judge whoever he likes. He is God. We have enough to do by trying to understand the true meaning of verse 2a, which is how I should be treating others. I should be treating them the way I would like them to treat me. So when all is said and done, I believe God is the only judge. Will you treat others the way that you would like to be treated? Will that be our COV template? From now on, we're going to treat each other the way we would like to be treated. Would you like to be treated well? You would? Oh, Julie would. That's great. So the rest of you don't mind how you're treated. Would you like to be treated the way you would care for others? You would. Of course you would. We all want that. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't get into all this judgy stuff. Don't get all judgy. Treat one another the same way that you would like to be treated. That's reasonable. That's the way for God's kingdom to be advanced. Before we point out the speck that's wrong with our brother or sister, have we taken the dirty great big log that's in our own eye out? And Jesus has given us some counsel on what to do in situations where we're just getting ridiculed off the planet. And he says, in some of these situations, you will have to be disengaging and committing them to the Holy Spirit and seeking God's hand in their life. So, what's the Holy Spirit saying to us now?
Love one another.
So, as I've wrestled with this, I believe that what the Holy Spirit wants us to do this morning is to think about whether or not we can actually stop judging each other. And I believe the Holy Spirit's wanting us to think about, can we start genuinely loving each other? So, I don't know if you're aware, but Billy Graham had a line that went like this. It was, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, it's God's job to judge, and it's my job to love. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, it's God's job to judge, and it's my job to love. And I thought about this moment in the service after we've covered everything in this passage, and I thought, what do we do now? And I was actually sitting in the prayer room with Jeff in the quietness, and I believe the Lord pointed out to me that the very table that I'm sitting in front of is our celebration and our remembrance this morning. But it is really clear in my mind that Scripture is crystal clear that I cannot partake of that until there is no judgment in my soul towards anybody else. And then I thought, well, okay, that's fine, but we're all different. And I thought, well, yeah, some people may feel freed, as I did when I'd prayed and committed it to the Lord. Some people may feel freed by coming up the front, coming before the cross, coming before the table and confessing. And I thought, yeah, that's important, because I think if there is stuff in our lives which only we know about, it's not about pouring it all out to everybody else, but it's about you before your God saying to him, I am intentionally asking that you forgive me for all the judgment that I have had in my life, in whatever circumstances they have been. And I ask that your Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would free me from these thoughts and these behaviours and how I have behaved. And others of us have got absolutely no interest in moving a millimetre from where we are right now. And that's okay too. Before your holy God, you can just come in confession and seeking the power of the Holy Spirit to free you and forgive you for all that judgment that's occurred in your life. Either way, I don't think it matters. But part of the reason why I put the chair in front of the communion table is I think we all, in our own individual lives and hearts this morning, need to be sure that we have confessed all the judgment that is in there, even down to the smallest molecules, to free us from the burden of that, from the hurt of it, from the way that it tears down our relationships with each other in our church family, even in our own relation families, even in our own groups, even in our own networks. So I think let's take some time to ask the Lord to truly melt this in through our hearts, to understand that we really can stop judging each other and we really can genuinely love one another. And it will make a huge difference to the freedom of our lives and of our spirits and of the way in which the Holy Spirit can indwell us. And do it in whichever way works for you. But let's take some time and let's just have silence. If you want to come forward, I'm a humble servant here that will be with you up the front. If you want to stay where you are, that's just fine. But do business with God, please. This is not one of those situations where you can escape. Because I think that in every single one of our lives, there's some aspect, some little molecule of judgment that we've had that we need to rectify before a holy God who cares about us and loves us. And he wants to see this church family revolutionized by the love of Jesus, because we read Matthew 7 and we put it into practice. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's start putting it into practice. And I'll just leave it to Jack to guide it from here. But let's take the time. If you want to come forward, just love to be with you. If you want to stay where you are, that's fine. But do business with God, please. Heavenly Father, we just sit here under the power of your Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for the release and the freedom that you gave to me from the burden of bitterness and attitude and frustration. And I'm just sorry, Lord, it took so long for me to figure it out. But what I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning is that there will be humility, but there will be some real honesty in their own individual walk with you, and that they will pour out before you and seek your forgiveness and your freeing of judgment stuff that's going on in their life. And I just pray this, Lord, as we continue before you, please help us to deal with this now and enable us to come with just a supernatural freedom of the Spirit as we come and take the bread and the wine and remember the love of Jesus as he took the cross for each one of us. Lord, work in our midst, please. Work, 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 work in our midst. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.